Intervju Radija Študent.
Verjetno ni veliko poslušalk in poslušalcev, ki bi na tole noizersko hromenje, ki ga poslušamo v ozadju, porekli, ja, to so pa The Beatles. Pa vendar v nekem smislu to so The Beatles, in sicer The Complete Beatles, zvočna instalacija švedskega umetnika Conja Bluma, ki ga gostimo v današnjem RKHV intervjuju. Conji Blum se je v Ljubljani nazadnje samostojno predstavil pred 3 leti, ko je v galeriji v Žigalicam razstavljal svojo trilogijo Copyleft. Že takrat je opozarjal na grotesknost založniških korporacij, ki pod pretvezo varovanja avtorskih pravic ščitijo le svoje lastne kapitalske interese. Tokrat se v Axiomi predstavlja z delom The Complete Beatles, kjer s konkretnim primerom opozarja na absurdnost podaljševanja lastništva avtorskih pravic, kar med drugim zavira tudi samo kreativnost glasbene industrije. Zvočna instalacija The Complete Beatles, kjer se na 8 zvočnikih predvaja celotna studijska diskografija tega popularnega benda, je istočasno zalupana v eno samo zvočno sliko in praktično neprepoznavna. Intenzivnost zvočnega kolaža prej kot na Beatles spominja na noizerski koncert, le pozorno poslušanje pred vsakim zvočnikom posebej razkrije razlike v posameznih zvočnih strukturah. Za večjo preglednost in primernejšo prostorsko sliko je avtor na vsak zvočnik zalupal 4 albume, ki si sledijo v kronološkem vrstnem redu, vsi pa so seveda predvajani hkrati. Sicer je pred začetkom intervjuja priznal, da sam ni velik oboževalec Beatlov, a pogovor je vseeno tekel nekam v to smer. Med drugim je z nekakšnim olajšanjem izjavil, da se pod pretvezo varovanja avtorskih pravic skriva še veliko drugih glasbenih skupin, ki so v veliki meri tudi lastniki svojih založb. Tako se bo lahko lotil dekonstrukcije še kakšne druge velike glasbene zapuščine. Več v intervjuju, ki sledi.
Funny question,
actually. Yeah.
I was wondering if you buy all of these songs or you just stole it from the internet.
In this case, I bought the albums.
Okay. In MP3 or yeah?
As CDs. I wanted a full quality.
Oh, cool. Okay. Cool. The accompanying text for the sound installation. There is a written that you're actually questioning if these are the Beatles or are not. So what do you think?
I mean, if you talk physics, it's enormous amount of audio, and when audio clashes, audio change. The sound wave change and something new is happening. So it might be based on the Beatles music, but physically, it's not anymore something. I mean, when audio morph, it becomes something else.
It's the same as with playing song backwards or just like completely dismantling it on just like one beat, the snare or the vocals.
I mean, I guess one could say so. But it's also just purely what is a composition and when does the composition cease to be? I mean, sure, all of their compositions exist in this piece, but if you can't distinguish them, then they don't really exist anymore.
I think that this piece of work is actually dealing with the question of the production of the new. So you try to show how the music industry, which is based on copyright system, copyright machine, somehow inhibits the production of the new, which is always based on some reappropriation of existing patterns and so on. So my question is, how the new is produced? Because I think this is related to the, let's call it, postmodern condition. And also you use a lot of techniques of remix, I think, in your work. Yeah. So how do you think that the new is produced?
I mean, I think the new is basically just a constant reinvention of the old, or what to say. There is nothing as a divine creativity or anything such. Our brain is, it's an organ, and it collects data, and then we can use those data to reshuffle them a little to come up with something that will seem new, but it is still based on the information we have been able to gather. There's no beam from God or something coming into our brains giving us the new, but it is just
But this divine creativity, as you said, is like a metaphysical basis for the whole system of copyright and the author, I think. So this is connected somehow.
I think how it's what's been happening the last 20 years is extremely it very much goes against all kind of cultural aspirations, because it is purely profit issues that try to prevent the basic way how culture is being constructed. The old Mozart and Bach and Vivaldi and all these people, they were inspired by folk music. They borrowed lots of their compositions, are pieces of different folk music that they have rearranged, and it goes on like that. The jazz borrows from folk music, and it's by borrowing and taking further development happens. And if you have to pay for the right for every little thing from the past that you develop on, then it's basically only people who have a big production company behind them that can create, and then we will not have much valuable culture in the future, I think.
So you could say that the copyright law is blocking the creativity and the expansion of new music and new ideas.
Yeah.
But it's the same everywhere, like in the, for example, Monsanto company with their corn seeds and stuff. It's huge social problem.
I mean, I happen to have a background. I worked in a record shop for 7 years, and I have been collecting music for many, many years. So I happen to have a background in music, but it's copyright laws are the same cluster of laws as the patent right laws. So that rice tech from Texas can get patent on basmati rice is the exactly same issue as now I'm focusing on a sphere where I'm more familiar with myself, but it's the same story.
Okay.
Totally.
So we can expect some art piece on the internet and digital rights management and stuff like that.
Well, it's not unlikely, no.
So my next question will be more straightforward. Why are you dealing so much with the question of copyright?
I think that since I am an artist, then I am one of these people that the media industry is using as an excuse for them to maintain power. They are saying, I mean, we have to protect the musicians, we have to protect the artists and inventors. That's why we have to strengthen these laws. But the artists and inventors and musicians are never really protected. If Disney would want to steal something I had made, I would have no chance to protect it, because they would have much better lawyers, and they would have 200 lawyers, and I couldn't afford one. So as an artist, you don't really have much chance when it comes down to legal conflict. So basically, it's never been about artists and musicians and inventors' rights. It's but they are using us, and therefore I think it's important to say that it's not for me you're doing. I mean, I don't want to be part of this. You're not to use my name for it.
Do you think that the question of copyright today is the ultimate question of art? Because, like, since avant-garde, the art is dealing with the question of the medium, the representation, politics, author, and so on. But what about copyright? Is this the question of the art itself today?
Well, ultimate sounds very ultimate, but yes, it for sure is. It has a much wider span than if you first just start thinking about whether musicians should be paid for what they do or anything such. It's I mean, it's a much bigger issue. And, society looks today, and the way the laws are morphing, it is just basically wishing to shut down artistic creativity altogether. And
also, you use a lot of in your work, but not exclusively, the medium of sound. You said before that you worked in a record shop and so on, but I wonder why the medium of sound. Is there any special reason for this? Do you think that the sound or the music is somehow like that book from Jacques Attali, where he said that the sound is like the future of the society, and so the structure of the music is like a structure of society. Is there any special meaning for you to use sound and music in your
work? I think that sound is very communicative, and also I feel like it's a way of addressing these issues that somehow more people are able to understand somehow. I feel that it's a kind of direct medium, and that it's it has this obvious link to the situation within with the music industry and such also, of course. So it's a pedagogic choice also, maybe.
You also recomposed John Cage's famous work, The Silent Work, The Silent Piece. So is that also a sound medium, and why?
I mean, very much a companion piece to this piece, I'd say, because it's in this work I cut out breaks and pauses within compositions. Basically, composed silence, so, and cut it together to a piece of the same length as John Cage.
From Cage's compositions, yeah. Or
no, from
various.
From various, all kinds of genres, actually.
Okay.
So that initially was, I mean, the idea was to take it to sort of the absurdity of where does this. Where does it end? And there was some ideas in the 90s that it's okay to sample like 3 beats or 3 seconds or such. There is nothing such. According to copyright law, every part of a composition, no matter how small, is protected, and hence also silences in a composition. So I wanted to take it to the extreme. But what happens when you cut them all out, then suddenly they're of course not silent anymore, because you can raise the volume, and suddenly you hear the musicians moving or breathing in the background, or some lingering tones that are under the background hiss, things that wasn't meant to be heard, but it's still in the recordings.
For me, it is very interesting that your challenge to the copyright system is based on these elements which are not exactly music, like silence, noise. So this Beatles installation is like a it's like noise yep. music. Why do you focus on these specific elements? Are these elements are trying to show, or somehow when you deconstruct some existing musical pieces, that there are elements which cannot be subject of copyright? Or do you think, like you said, that you want to take to the absurd this whole copyright machine? Or do you think that anything could become the subject of copyright?
Yes, to all three, basically. I don't have to. That doesn't have to be one single thread that is the truth, and that's the fantastic thing about art. That art can. Why art was like in the last 10 years. Art as research has become a big deal, and all the art academies are trying to have artistic research, basically to justify the funding and to show that they are it's very serious. But there's a contradiction that also, because art has the possibility to both say yes and no at the same time. It's something that puts art aside from science, that it has this possibility to say. To address two opposite things at the same time, and I think it's a quality also that it can have, so it also can open up more discussions parallel and such.
I have another Beatles question. This piece is quite old, it's from 2009.
Yeah.
So it's like 4 years since you made it. And did you get like any ugly responses from Beatles fans, if you ruined the Beatles for us or something like that?
Nothing at all. It's actually so that this piece has only been shown once before. It's a difficult piece, not only due to the copyright issues, but it's the kind of piece you can't have in a group show, because all other artists would be kind of unhappy, because it would quite dominate the space. I think if it was a gallery where the office of the guard was sitting in the space, they would go nuts, maybe. But no, practically it's also so that so that is one issue why has been difficult to show it. But then also it's in some countries and certain institutions are basically afraid to even deal with these kind of issues. I have in the past had. Copyright conflicts with other pieces where I don't know the name of the Slovene equivalent to this company or organization that supposedly protects musicians' rights. Yeah, they have been threatening galleries in Sweden where I've been exhibiting with other pieces. But in that case, it's actually been so that I had the law on my side. I've just been careful to place it in this kind, as here, where we have supposedly Beatles' complete work, but nobody can actually tell if it is. In similar ways, it has just been threats. They have like threatened the gallery that they will take action if they don't close it down. But then afterwards, the gallery didn't close it down, and nothing happened. So, because. It's just they.
So, how many copyright laws you actually violated with this piece?
Yes. Some. I don't know the.
You don't
exact,
know
exact number. And it's. I mean, it's since it's also the law varies from country to country and such. So it might be that. I mean, this is a. We are talking about the British band, so, but still, then it comes to like performance of a piece. Also, it's. Yeah, that those laws look a little bit different also in different countries.
How does this installation differ from another, from your another sound installation? Because you actually you somehow repeat the question in similar way, the copyright issue and so on. But why do you choose this this approach to put complete Beatles in simultaneous playing?
No, it's. I mean, it is as of course a play with the absurd. Like, where does something end? When does something lose the core characteristics that make it what it is? And basically, if it's not what it is anymore, then it's not. Then the laws doesn't apply. I've done another piece based on the work of Beatles, and it's. I've taken the lyrics of the Beatles songs and then I run it through all the languages of the European Union back and forth in Google Translate until it becomes some sort of a mixture of Dada poetry and extremely infantile teenage poetry, sort of. It's, there's very little left of the original lyrics anymore, and they get very absurd. And sometimes one can maybe guess which song it's based on, but at what point does a bad translation make the work a new piece and not any longer protected by the original copyright? There is a point where something no longer is what it has been, and that's maybe what I'm interested in.
This would be like my next question, because yeah, you use lyrics and music from Beatles, so what about video material, or I don't know, what else is copyrighted by them?
Maybe I will, there is other musicians out in the world that might expand in the future.
Why did you use 8 different loops, channels? Is there any special meaning?
There's not a special meaning, but it was basically a practical decision. Ideally, I would want to have one CD player for every song, but then we're talking more than 150 CD players. And 300 speakers, so then there's very few places in the world that would exhibit this piece. So that's a practical decision to have to narrow it down, and then to what extent. I mean, also then this was somewhere where it seemed practical. So it's basically more or less 4 albums per. Each pair of stereo speakers.
I don't know if you're aware, but there is an exhibition in Žigalica, in Kapilica right now, and they are exhibiting post-metro organisms of European Union, and they also have this Monsanto corn there.
Yeah.
And I think that the guy actually bought it, that he can exhibit it.
Okay.
Yeah. As you do.
Right.
So that's cool.
There's an old piece by Heath Bunting called I don't remember now, but he has made a natural combination. It's a bag of seeds, super weed 2.0, I think it's called, that is designed basically. It's different plants that naturally cross the English words. Some certain plants can like mix. If they are put in the same environment, they can naturally create like a hybrid And this hybrid, supposedly back then, it's like from the 90s, was resistant to Monsanto's pesticides. So it was like designed for attacking Monsanto.
So maybe just one more question about new technologies, because new digital technologies are somehow opened even more this question of copyright. So, what do you think about how or about the potential of these new technologies? Could they in which way we are heading with? Because like some years ago, like in the 90s, a lot of people think that the internet and the means for free or file sharing and so on could really be more subversive than as it seems today in relation to the culture or music industry. What do you think is the?
I mean,
because as I see it, your object of your work is this question.
I mean, what's happening now is that, to a biggest extent, that what's been happening throughout history. We have back in the 20s, Edwin Howard Armstrong realized that if you transmit radio signal with frequency modulation, FM, it sounds much better than AM. So he started constructing radio gadgets and so on, set up a station so he could broadcast this. But RCA, Radio Corporation of America, they had more or less monopoly on the AM transmissions and the radios and such. So they were not at all happy with this new invention. So they were, and they were a big, powerful company. So they lobbied in U.S. to manage to prevent Armstrong to have access to the majority of frequencies to where he could transmit, and in other ways try to prevent him off the air, or keep him off the air. And in the end, they just stole his invention and put it in TV transmitters. And he was ruined for by 20 years of legal battle and killed himself in the end. And RCA later became a subsidiary to RCA, RCA Records, that's not now part of Sony Entertainment. And they have been fighting development with the new media and internet, like the possibilities of internet, which is this sharing and linking and the sort of copy paste kind of functions. So it's the same battle all the time. Like the big dinosaurs are, of course, doesn't want the world to develop, because then suddenly they won't be around anymore and something new will happen. So they're fighting for their to maintain status quo. And I think internet has this, the structure of internet is this with free, like to like spread and link. It has lots of potential for also we see how, of course, in some countries access is prevented just because it has this power of undermining systems, because it can reach you can't control it totally, and that is what is happening now. That possibly internet will morph into something corporate and controlled. Like if there's being battle now with Google regarding the fact that linking to copyrighted material is against the law, if you like, to make something available. So then basically Google couldn't function, and then you have to have a lot of money to advertise your web page to be able to be found if there is no possibility of linking. So it's that's yeah. So but hopefully we'll see what happens. But hopefully, most often in the end, the practicality of a medium wins. I mean, in the end, we have now FM radio is on the way out since it's getting digital and such. But FM radio was so much better. So in the end. Armstrong's widow actually won in court in the end, and FM radio took over in US also. And I mean, there is a lot. Somehow, most often, if a medium has a powerful enough structure and function, and hopefully that it will come to its right in the end. But right now, it seems a bit tough.
S Konjem Blumom sta se pogovarjala Robert Bobnič in Tina Dolinšek.
Intervju Radija Študent.